thank you for the privilege, the honor of allowing me to join your fellowship for communion tonight. If you can ever take communion and not be blessed and thrilled, you don't understand what you did. We're here to celebrate the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you understand, absent that, every one of us would be hellbound. If there was any fairness in this world, if there was any justice, we'd all be in hell with a cell with our name on it. But because of the shed blood of Jesus and what he did, heaven's our home. How many of you are thankful you're heaven-bound? Heaven-bound. Boy, thank you. And this was just a moment that I cherished, and it was such a joy to be here. Boy, whenever, I always warn people, man, whatever you do, get clean before you take communion. But then number two, once you're clean, enjoy it. Oh, my. We do this by command of the Savior in remembrance of him. Turn in your Bibles tonight, please, to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And holding your finger there, go to Mark chapter 14, John chapter 13, and Mark chapter 14. Thank you again for all the great kindness. Such a wonderful, wonderful motel room you permit me to stay in. And Mrs. Lord, thank you for the great fruit basket. It had my favorite fruit in it. It had Hershey's and Snickers and all the really good fruit. Nothing worse than a fruit basket totally full of fruit. And it was just wonderful. And then last night, Brother Robert and Tanya, the painters, took such gracious care of me. And today with your pastor, boy, at lunch, we ate right at about 15,000 calories, and I loved every single one of them. And it's just such a joy and a privilege to be here. Tonight, for the next couple of minutes, and I'll not preach long, I want you to look at the life of a man that we can learn an incredible lesson from. But it's not a man from Scripture whose name we often exalt as a model for anything. Because this man's name has gone down in infamy and disgrace and betrayal of the highest order. Tonight I want you to join me in learning a lesson from the life of Judas, the man who betrayed Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Gibbs, what could I ever, ever, ever learn admirably from Judas? Permit me to tell you, because it's an important lesson, and then we're going to read the Scriptures. Judas was with the disciples for 3.5 years. Intimately. He was there when the dead were brought back to life. He was there when they fed the 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes. He would have been one that went out and helped bring one of the 12 baskets back of the fragments. He was there when Lazarus was raised to life. He was there when the miracles took place. He was there when the disciples went out and said, even the demons are subject to us. But the tragedy was, he wasn't real. He was just an incredibly good act. He was a fake. And the lesson is very simple. Every one of us on occasion pretends to have things together better spiritually than we have them together. We pretend to be what we're sometimes not. And the tragedy is when we do that, we're playing Judas. Judas had such a good act that when Jesus said, one of you are going to betray me, not one of the disciples said, Judas, I knew it all along, Judas. They could not imagine he wasn't real. And they lived with him for 3.5 years. you and I can have an act that can fool everybody, but it never fools God. Never. Let's get ready to read the passage, Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 17. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, now this is what we oft refer to as the Last Supper, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him, underline these next words, one by one. Every one of the disciples said this. Is it I? And another said, Is it I? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's Judas. He's the betrayer. He's the fake. He's the fraud. No. He had such a great act. He was so smooth that he fooled the disciples. You can have an act that fools everybody and even yourself much of the time. But an act will never fool God. Never. Now go with me to John chapter 14. 13, pardon me. Here this is recorded again. We're going to start at verse 21, John 13. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples, here it is again, looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Wow. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And if you know your scriptures, which disciple was that? That was John. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. They're clueless. They can't imagine anybody. So Peter says, John, ask him. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Now the next part is amazing. Jesus said, I'm going to show you. The guy that's a fake, the guy that's a pretend, the guy that's not real, the guy that's going to betray me is the one I'm going to dip a sop and give it to him. And he dips the sop and gives it to Judas. And they still can't believe it. Let's read. Then Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest do quickly. Now no man at the table knew. Wait a minute. He just told you. I'm going to show you who the fake is. And he shows them. But Judas's act was so good, they still couldn't comprehend it. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag. Now, underline that word bag. He's the treasurer. And you don't give the money to somebody you don't trust. Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast. Or that he should give something to the poor. Wow. He showed you. He told you. But isn't it amazing how a good act can fool people? And the lesson to be learned from Judas is God never called you or me to be a good act. He called us to be real. Don't you ever forget this. The greatest acting is not done on a Broadway stage in New York or on a sound set in Hollywood, California. The greatest acting is done in churches where we pretend to be what we're not. And the lesson from Judas is, whatever you do, stop the pretend. Stop it. Because while you can fool everybody, we'll never fool God. Three keys to being real. Write these down and I'll be finished tonight. Lessons from the life of Judas. Here's the first one. If I'm going to be real, if you're going to be real. Three simple commands. The first one is found in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, in the sight of God. Now, in your notes, don't write down humble yourself, because that's not the command. The command is to humble yourself in the sight of God. And it's written in the continuum, which means we say it and we keep it. If we were to phrase it today, we'd say, humble yourself and keep humbling yourself in God's sight, and don't ever stop humbling yourself in His sight. When is the last time you bowed before God, who knows everything, who knows every thought you've had, who knows every fantasy you've entertained, every passion you've harbored, every word you've spoke? He knows everything. When's the last time you humbled yourself in His sight? When is the last time you said, Lord, turn on heaven's flashlight? As the psalmist said, see if there be some wicked way in me. Oh, well, Brother Gibbs, if I say that, God will do it every time. And we're not ever going to be real until we stop thinking we can fool Him. Humble yourself in His sight. Wow. Lately, I've had to go to the altar a good number of times to say, Lord, I've kind of led people to believe I'm some things I'm not. I want to be, but I don't want to be an act. And God, for me to stop an act in my life, for you to stop an act in your life, it starts with humbling ourselves in His sight. Because God, you know exactly what's a pretend in my life. You know exactly what's an act. You know exactly where I'm playing Judas. And God, I don't want to be a Judas. I want to be real. D.L. Moody used to close most of his services, they say, by telling people, don't leave this service till you've humbled yourself in the sight of God. Whoa. Indeed, it's a Bible command. And if I'm going to be real, if you're going to be real, it starts with us humbling ourselves. My wife was with me one night and I preached, and on the way home I said to her, how do you think that went? And she said, oh, it was a blessing. It was a blessing. But she said, honey, there's something that troubles me. I said, what's that, babe? She said, you told that story. And she reminded, I said, yeah, I did. She said, I was there. And what you said was true, sort of. Now I'm sitting here thinking, I didn't ask for this part. I just asked, how do you think it went? And she said, honey, I know you. I've lived with you for 48 years. You're not a liar. You're not. But she said, it's important that we don't pretend to be. Boy, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. The minute we got home, Pastor, both of us bowed together and I said, let's humble ourselves in the sight of God. You're right. I had told the story, making it sound. It was true. But I sure left the impression it was better than it was. And it was an act. God's looking for somebody to get honest with Him. To turn on heaven's flashlight. I don't know what's in your life and you don't know what's in mine. All I know is we're all susceptible to pretend. And God says, when you pretend, you're just an act. Judas had a masterful pretend. Masterful. But how we stop it is by getting humble in the sight of God. Write the second key down. Number one, we got to humble ourselves in His sight. Number two, we got to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Now, this is an absolute command of God. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Every person here who's a child of God is either walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. And if you're walking in the flesh, you're not walking in the Spirit. But if you're walking in the flesh, it all reverses. And I wonder if you can say, by the grace of God today, I walked in the Spirit. You never do it by accident. It's a command that requires obedience. Am I preaching this message in the flesh or in the Spirit? Are we doing this service in the flesh or in the Spirit? Last week at work, were you in the flesh or in the Spirit? If you're in the flesh, a good act is all you have. Because that's all an unsaved person has, is a good act. And the command is, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, in order for us to inventory our own lives, you drop down just a little bit and go down to verse 22. God says, if you want to know if you're walking in the Spirit, this fruit will be in your life. So if I'm real and I'm walking in the Spirit, this fruit will manifest itself. But the fruit of God is... And I always caution, please note, it does not say the fruits of the Spirit are. Somebody says, well, I'm good at two of them, I'm good at three, I'm good at one. No, no, no. If you're in the Spirit, all of these will be there. And if these aren't there in my life and yours, then we're an act. Because we're walking in the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Were those fruits in your life, were they in mine? If we're walking in the Spirit, that fruit will be there. And if we're not walking in the Spirit, then we're disobeying an absolute command of God, and all we have left is a good act to pretend. My wife and I were traveling in a small motorhome that we had, and we were in a church in South Carolina, and I was to preach there on a Wednesday night. And Brother John, the church kind of sets up on a hill, their parking lot slopes down, and we didn't want to block any cars, so we parked out by the street, and I'm on the phone, and the service is going to start at 7 o'clock in the east, but I'm on the phone with a lawyer and a judge in the West Coast. And I'm saying, I'll get off the phone. I'll be off the phone by 6:30, and we'll go in. Services at 7. Well, 6:30 comes and goes, and, man, I'm still on the phone. And my wife, Gloria, she said, honey, it's just 6:30, so you know. I said, yeah, okay. Well, she came back. Now it's 4:45. She said, honey, it's 4:45. A lot of the people are here. I said, I know. Now it's 5:00. And she said, honey, we're going to be late. It's 5:00. I said, I know. Now 7:00, they start singing. And you can hear the singing. She said, honey, they're singing. They've started the service. I said, I know. 10 after, I finally get off the phone. When I got off the phone, I turned to her and I said, come on, hurry up. You're making us late. Hurry up. When you're walking in the flesh, it's always everybody else who's wrong. You say, where did love, joy, peace, long-suffering, where'd all that go, Brother Gibbs? When you stop walking in the Spirit, those things won't even come to mind. Now, to get out of our little motorhome, we had these steps you folded out. And if you know camper steps, they're kind of rickety and jiggly. And my wife has a bad back and a bad knee. And she's trying to go down the steps. I'm saying, come on, quicker. You got to go faster. I said, come on, quicker. Don't you all look at me like that. Now we got to walk up this hill. I'm saying, come on, walk faster. We got to get up there. Okay? She said, honey, you go on ahead. I'll come as quick as I can. I said, no. It won't look good if I walk in without you. Where did it won't look good if I walk in without you come from? You know what that is? That's act talk. That's Judas talk. Now we're up there and the usher opens the front door. Oh, Brother Gibbs, good to see you. Oh, praise God, good to see you. And I turned to my wife and I said, right this way, sweetheart. I hadn't said nothing nice to her all the way up there. But now that somebody's listening, it's time for the act. We walked in and sat down, and the preacher saw me. He said, come on up, Brother Gibbs, come on up. Man, I went up and sat by him. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And I'll tell you what God said. He said, you just treated that precious bride of yours like trash. You just treated her contemptibly terrible. And I suppose now you want me to help you. And I said, yeah, that's pretty much what I had in mind. Whoa. I was smitten. Before I preached that night, I stood up and I said, folks, I got to get right. I treated my wife terribly all the way in here. I'm the guy who made us late, and then because I was flustered with me, I took it out on her. And I said, then I wanted to walk in here and act like everything's fine. An act is never fine. Pretend is never real with God. If I'm going to be real, the first thing I got to do is absolutely humble myself in the sight of God. And the second thing I got to do by decision is walk in the Spirit. I've told my wife, if you don't see these fruits in me, tell me quickly. I've told precious people in our ministry, you know, Brother Steve Kluth, pastor, he's one. I said, Steve, if you ever don't see these in me, tell me immediately. Because because I don't want to be a good act. And neither do you. You want to be real. But in order to do that, we got to make a decision to humble ourselves in God's sight. And then we got to make a decision to walk in the Spirit. Write this down. You'll never walk in the Spirit by accident. Never. It is a God-commanded decision. You'll never be saved by accident. It's a decision. Walking in the Spirit is a decision. Write the third and final thing down if I'm going to be real. Number one, I got to humble myself in God's sight. Number two, I got to walk in the Spirit. Wow. By the way, that night when I stood up and repented of that, the pastor, who's a very dear friend of mine, he said, "This is shameful." He said, "I did the same thing to my wife all the way to church tonight." And he said, "While Brother Gibbs was repenting, God said, you better repent." Isn't it amazing how comfortable we get with just pretending? God doesn't want us to be a good act. He wants us to be real. Write the third and final thing down. If I'm going to be real, I got to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, Ephesians 4:30. And I got to quench not the Holy Spirit of God, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do you know what it means to grieve God, the Holy Spirit? It means to cause Him pain, to cause Him distress, to cause Him grief, harm. The day you got saved, and how many of you have asked the Lord Jesus to save you? Hold your hand up. The day we did that, the Holy Spirit moved into you. The Bible says He dwells, He tabernacles in us. He's there. And God says, you want to be real, don't hurt Him. Don't you distress Him. Don't you grieve Him. Whoa. Have you ever seen a child that is just grieving the fire out of a mother? A mom who loves that child with she'd die for that child. But that child is hurting her and grieving her. God says, don't you do that to the Spirit I've put in you. And don't you quench Him. When He speaks to you, when He moves in you, to quench means to extinguish the effect. You have a fire because you want heat, but now you're done. You don't want the heat anymore. So what you end up doing is, you throw water on it, you pour dirt on it, you smother it with something. Because there was a time you wanted fire, now you don't want it. God says, don't you ever do anything to not want the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Every time you hear the Word of God, every time you read the Word of God, are you saying, Lord, speak to me. Talk to me. I want to hear from you. Don't grieve Him. Don't quench Him. I love your pastor. If he came to me and he said, David, you're doing something that grieves me, I'd say, whoa. I don't care what it is. If I'm doing something that grieves you, you tell me what it is. I'm stopping because I'm not going to grieve you. I'm not going to do it. You never grieve who you love because it hurts them and that hurts you. When's the last time you said to the Holy Spirit, I don't want to grieve you? I don't want you to feel any distress from me. And you show me what's grieving you, Holy Spirit, and I promise you, I'm done. I'm not going to hurt you. Or have you done something I've done, and that is we get comfortable saying, well, Yeah, I know that grieves them, but... And somehow we just think it's not that big a deal. The minute we grieve the Holy Spirit, our life goes into an act. Because the Holy Spirit is talking to us to change it. And then we just don't want to hear from Him. That's when we start quenching Him and saying, leave it alone. By the grace of God, I don't want to grieve Him, and I don't want to quench Him. Are we an act? Or are we truly real? Judas, you got everybody fooled. You're amazing. The disciples. Man, they're intimate with you for 3.5 years. And when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, not one had a clue it was Judas. And then He said, I'm going to show you who it is. I'm going to dip the sop. And even when Jesus did that, they could not imagine Judas. Man, you have got the act to end all acts. But Judas, that's all that it is an act. It's not real. And by the grace of God, don't live with a good act. Live with what's real. It's a choice. A great lesson from the life of Judas? Oh, there is one. You can have such a good act, you fool everybody. But you will never fool God. And how do I get real? By humbling myself in God's sight. Number two, by walking in the Spirit. Boy, if that fruit isn't available in my life, readily, you say, well, it's there and it just doesn't show. No, no, you can't hide fruit. Do I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering? Is that fruit there? And then not grieving and not quenching the Holy Spirit of God. The choice, my friend, lies with us to be real or to have a Judas type of act. By the grace of God, be real. Father, thank You. Oh my, what a precious night this was. The treasured music, the wonderful opportunity to be a part of the Lord's Supper. But now, God, we don't want to leave here an act. We don't want to be a pretend. We don't want to be somewhat real, mostly real, but a big part an act. God, by Your grace, by Your power, we want to be real in everything we do for You. Heads are bowed. How many of you say, David, the Lord spoke to my heart tonight. And God helping me as never before. I want to be real. My heart's been touched tonight. If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Bye. God bless you. I'm going to ask the instruments to play. If God spoke to your heart, you raised your hand, I invite you to this altar. You come right now. Don't hesitate. Don't delay.